All right, guys. Welcome once again to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I am Brad Howard, and I've got my boy, Scott McKay, on the phone today. And the reason I've got Scott on the phone is because, well, to be quite frank, you guys have been asking for him to come back ever since, you know, he and I got on the phone and drank beer and kind of shot the breeze and kind of, you know, talked about a lot of different stuff and really kind of dropped some really good nuggets on the phone. So I brought Scott back on the phone. We'll probably have him up here maybe once a month just because he's got such a good handle on what you guys want as far as knowledge and things like that. And he also knows how to talk in a way that you understand it and grasp it really well. So, Scott, I really appreciate you being on the phone, man.
Hey, man, it's good to be here. That's pretty heavy-duty introduction. Hope I can live up to it.
Well, you know, I mean, you're not drinking your favorite beverage this time, so.
Yeah, I'm plenty lucid this time.
Yeah, that was fun, though. Okay, so, all right, let's just kind of cut to the chase. I mean, you've got a new product out now you call Chick Whispering, and it kind of goes back to your podcast called The Chick Whisperer. You've been kind of building up on this thing for a while now, and this thing is all about understanding women more so than anything else that I think you've ever taught, and just kind of in one particular thing. So kind of give us the background of what's that about, and then we'll kind of nail down on some stuff really quick.
Well, you know, back in 2007, I believe, early 2007, I got an email from a woman, and a lot of guys don't know this, but I coach men and women both. They write to me. A lot of women really think I've got a grasp on how the male mind works, and they ask me those questions. And, of course, Emily, my wife and fellow dating coach, knows men pretty well. So as a team, we end up kind of both talking to men and women. And this woman asked me a question. I believe she was from somewhere in Canada. And I answered it for her. And she said, man, you know, you just nailed that on the head. It's, you know, like you understand me better than I understand myself. It's like you're the chick whisperer or something. And I was like, that is so awesome. I just loved it. And I said, you know, I think you've just named my new podcast. And it was funny because she responded and kind of kidded me about it. You know, like, how is that going to be, you know, taken? And sounds kind of funny. But I'm like, yeah, well, that sounds perfect, though. I mean, it's such an engaging name. And we wanted to do a podcast on how to relate to women, how to understand women. Certainly not the same run-of-the-mill pickup artist stuff and, you know, rehashing a bunch of things that other guys have already rehashed. We wanted to kind of take a new angle on it. And we've gone through, I believe, 35 episodes now, and we talk usually at least some about understanding and relating to women, what's going through their minds. But, of course, we talk about a lot of different things also because there's just so much to talk about when it comes to women.
Sure.
So when we came out with the product, Chick Whispering, that was basically a book that I've been working on ever since the podcast came out, kind of organizing all the thoughts into one place. Because, you know, Brad, ultimately, if we do not understand what's going on in a woman's head and we don't understand how to represent to women what they really want in a man, we're not going to succeed with them. It's just like if you don't understand how to build an engine, you're not going to succeed at being a NASCAR crew chief.
Right.
It's not going to happen for you. You can dream. You can, you know, aspire. You can think maybe you're going to be able to zoom somebody here and there and get to where you want to be. But, you know, women are human beings, and they have a very, very clear picture of what they want in a man. They may not be able to verbalize it or even know really – in their conscious mind what it is that they're looking for, but they sure know it when they see it. So in many ways, you do have to know women better than they know themselves. But I think the good news and the reason why this has become such a soapbox for me, Brad, is because I think most guys are told they can't do it. You know, women are this big problem wrapped in an enigma, surrounded by a quandary. Women can't live with them. You can't shoot them. You know, we joke about it, but I think we're just lazy. I think we don't bother to try. We just assume it's impossible because that's the meme we've been fed our entire lives. And, you know, if you're the one guy who can step out of that mold, break it, and say, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to try to figure out what's going on in women's minds, then you're going to see not just amazing success with women, but you're going to see a lot of fun things happen. You're going to see women relate to you, interact with you in a way that's really, really going to be new and exciting for you. And I certainly found that out when I went through a terrible divorce with my ex-wife. I knew I had done everything that I believed it took to be a great husband and a great father to my daughter. And I still got rejected. She initiated the divorce and she said, you know, I really don't even know why I'm divorcing you. It's just, I guess, the cumulative effect, quote unquote, of all the small things you've ever done to piss me off.
Hmm.
I'm like, piss you off? I bring you roses. You know, I take you on wonderful trips to Europe. I mean, she drove one of those Mercedes SUVs, for gosh sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I kissed her, you know, we had sex, everything. But I failed. Now, those who know the story know that she was diagnosed with a rather severe mental illness that certainly was a contributor to this.
Right.
But I know I didn't like being a victim, and I felt victimized by my own lack of understanding of what women wanted. And I didn't like this feeling of, hey, you know what? If I tried as hard as I could and still got rejected, I'm just going to die alone. I didn't
right.
like that. I wanted out from under that. So what happened was I decided I'm going to learn what it is that women want from a man, and I'm going to learn how to be that guy. Not so I can kiss up to women, but so I can get a little semblance of control back into my interactions with women and get what I want next time. And most importantly, not have to go through this pain anymore.
Right.
Next time I want to be the one calling the shots. I want this woman to be crazy about me. And the reason why I know it worked and the reason why I'm confident about what's in not only the podcast, but what's in Chick Whispering, the program, is because, you know, despite my ex-wife's mental illness, she wanted to come back. Once she saw the changes in me, she got very attracted to me again.
Right. Yeah, that's it's interesting, and you kind of covered some of the questions I was going to ask you, but I guess the,
that's okay. We can go a little bit deeper into them, no problem.
What I mean, no. Well, the funny thing is, I was like, oh, I got a question, and you're like, okay, well, you handle that. You're like, oh, I got a question. So that's why I like having you on the show, because I don't have to do very much. I just sit here and record and just interject every once in a while. But the one thing that I think guys are going to get kind of confused, maybe not confused, but maybe they didn't pick up on what you said, is the fact that you're not talking about like sucking up or you know when you're trying to find out what a woman wants, you're not talking about like sucking up and being materialistic and doing everything for and all this other stuff. It's not that you're talking about. You're talking about certain characteristics. Like as an analogy, I'm thinking in my head right now, as soon as you said it, I was like, okay, it's like having a piece of candy. And you're either a guy that has the candy or you're a guy that doesn't have the candy. And if you have a piece of candy and that particular flavor of candy is what women want, well, then you can choose who to give the candy to. You're the one in control because you're the one that has what they all want. So it's not where you're like trying to force feed this candy on people. It's like, I've got this candy and you're a woman and you like this candy and you're a woman, you like this candy, you do too. And I can sit there and I can choose who I want to give the candy to. I know it's kind of a lame analogy or whatever, but that's kind of what I was thinking about in my head. And hopefully I kind of nailed that down a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, unfortunately, I think a lot of times as soon as guys get rid of the pain and they find some success, they quit. So that candy for a lot of guys is they find themselves holding one of those, you know, cheesy Starlight mints, you know, or circus peanuts or candy corn or something going, here, kitty, kitty, all these women. Oh, okay, I guess I'll like a mint or whatever. You know, and so they have something women want, and women are kind of sniffing around and saying, oh, he's kind of all right. Maybe I'll go out on a date with him. And they go, success! And then they think they've arrived. Meanwhile, the truth of the matter is with a little bit more legwork and not even a whole lot more time or blood, sweat, and tears, Brad, you can hold a box of Godiva chocolates instead.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to being the candy man, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I kind of love the analogy because, you know, if you are holding what women love, they're human beings. They're not an alien species of creatures. You know, a lot of times especially when we're not succeeding with women, we kind of want to dehumanize them. We want to make them as different from us as we can possibly make them because that helps us deal with our pain.
Mm-hmm.
To consider them just as human as we are and then get rejected by them, well, that's a little too much to handle.
But right.
Here's the hard truth, but it's also the truth that will set you free. And that's women are more like us than they are different than us.
Hmm.
So, yes, if you have something they want, guess what? They're going to pursue you. You will all of a sudden be the guy who represents what women want, and therefore you'll be the one who's the chooser, not the chaser.
Right. I mean, I was going to say there's a difference between bribing, like having just enough to be able to bribe somebody to do something, versus mm-hmm. having this whole abundant thing of something where people, it's like trying to give somebody a quarter to get them to do something for you, or like having a big pot of gold.
Well, yeah. And of course, you know, the bigger the incentive for the woman, the more secure that arrangement's going to be. And by mm-hmm. that, I mean, you know, if someone's just not really sure they're making the right decision by hanging out with you or whatever, they're more likely to leave. They're more likely to give you the just be friends talk sooner than later.
Right.
Cheat on you, whatever you want to call it. Something that's not going to end well for you is going to happen if you're not really representing fully what it is you could represent in terms of a woman, you know, wanting to be with you.
Right. So what's the secret?
Well, one of the things I like to do is I like to turn things around and show guys how women who've got this sort of thing figured out are affecting them. Because, see, what I just shared was that we're more alike than different. So if we can just kind of look into the matter, open our minds a little bit and say, okay, when women are attracting us, the same human dynamic is going on as when we would seek potentially to attract a woman. So I just got off the phone with a guy, as it turned out, who's just signed up for my coaching program. He's excited about it, and I think he's going to do great.
Mm-hmm.
And he just met a woman online, and it went really well. And he's like, man, this woman, she seemed great in her profile, but when I met her, she was just so feminine and so sweet and laughed at all my jokes and told me how great I was and went on and just seemed to be having just a great evening and smiled with her eyes, you know, and just really wanted to be there. And I went home and I said, man, it's been years since I met a woman like that. I can't let her go.
Right.
So he spent the next couple dates really, really fretting about, man, don't screw up. Don't mess this up. Don't let this woman out of your sight. Mm-hmm. And of course, she's saying, you know, I'm having a great time with you and this is going really, really well. And of course, he's treating her like a queen and she's saying thank you and it's going really well. But then, you know, after a couple of dates, she kind of got a little more distant.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally, she basically said, you know, I've really enjoyed my time with you, but I think we should just be friends and we're probably not a match. And of course, it was devastating to him.
Sure.
It's like, I did everything right from the get-go, and we were having these great dates. What went wrong? Well, see, you were so, what I said to the guy was, you were so concerned about not letting what you want get away from you that you probably lost sight of being the guy that's going to represent what she wants. You know,
right.
I call this, you know, time again, till I'm blue in the face, deserving what you want. You know, most people, men and women, this is another reason why we're both exactly alike. Men and women both do this. Believe me, we get the emails. They want something from the opposite sex. They want something from a relationship. They have an agenda. Guys want to sleep with the woman. Woman wants a boyfriend by next week. And we start pushing that agenda, even a little bit subconsciously, on someone. And it comes off as really being a used car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be sold. They want to do what they want to do. They want to buy, so to speak, what they want to buy. They don't want to be pushed into something that they already perceive may be a questionable decision.
Right.
And I'll tell you something. My new friend that I'm talking about here on my coaching program, he's a great guy. He's got every single thing going for him. There's no reason he shouldn't succeed with that woman. But the part that he doesn't understand yet is that woman goes on 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 great dates every week.
Right.
Potentially. Because she has the effect she has on men, men treat her right. Men want to keep her around. They go out of their way to make sure the date is going really well. So it's not unusual for her to have great dates. It's just someone's going to have to stand out.
Right. So basically,
and that guy is going to be the guy who didn't kiss up.
Right. So basically what you're saying is that for her, it's an anomaly to have a bad date versus the other way around. You know, with most people, it's an anomaly to actually have a good date. But for her, it's kind of the norm.
Right.
Let me ask you this, because I just thought about this, and actually it's a question I have. How many guys do you think, when they meet a woman like this, even think, you know, they think to themselves, oh man, this date is going so well, but not even realizing that the reason the date is going well is because the woman is the one contributing all the fun, and he's essentially riding her coattails without even noticing, I guess you could say.
Oh yeah, I mean, what you're talking about is a guy getting everything he wants because the woman knows how to represent that to a guy. And I don't mean necessarily her giving it up sexually. She's just charming him to death.
Right.
And he's thinking, man, this is going great. But he's not doing any of the heavy lifting. He's just enjoying himself. So the woman says, meh, thanks, but no thanks.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So basically,
that's all the time that happens.
Yeah, he's sitting there and he's saying, oh man, this is going so great. She's into me or whatever. But really, what she's thinking in her head, and see, this is kind of the fun things that you can do. Guys, if you're sitting there and you're wondering what to do, a good thing to do is to kind of change perspectives and say, okay, well, if I was sitting in her shoes and looking at what I'm doing right now and interacting and things like that, I mean, am I leeching off this whole thing or am I contributing to the thing? I mean, and there's different ways of contributing, I guess you could say. I mean, you can go way into that. I can go into that as well at some point, but there's different ways of contributing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be verbal, but I mean, you might be sitting there assuming that things are going well because she hasn't left yet.
Mm-hmm.
When that's just her personality and she's good at that particular thing. But since you haven't recognized that, you're failing and you're blowing it.
Right. Two things there. First of all, what you want to contribute first is making her feel comfortable in your presence.
Mm.
You want to make sure you understand that she could be nervous also. I mean,
right.
She's meeting you for the first time. This is your first date together, or even your second or third date. And, you know, women have concerns that we as guys often overlook, like their personal safety. They're out with a strange guy. The more comfortable you can make her feel in your presence, the better it's going to go for you. And you've got to get out from under your own worry about feeling comfortable and not screwing up and stop looking like you're being nervous and don't get the cold sweats. You got to stop that and get outside your own head, as they say, in order to be able to look at the woman in front of you and really process that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that you hit upon, and this is going to be 100% original material. I think this is a major takeaway. What you just talked about in terms of a woman contributing all the positive things, all the interactions, she's laughing at your jokes, she's the one carrying things. The deception that we guys feel that date is going well. I think I can offer a little formula to figure out if that's what's going on and whether you're really kidding yourself in the presence of a great woman or not.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having fun and enjoying yourself and feeling comfortable, or are you feeling fireworks? Are you feeling chemistry? Because the chemistry happens when there's give and take. There's mutual firing of each other's sexual polarity. If she's just carrying you, you're going to be thinking, oh, this is going pretty well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to feel that, man, I just felt a little bubble of nitrogen go up my spine and she just, you know, she's got this little gleam in her eye and I see her squirming in her seat over there. You know, if you're not making each other hot for each other and you're just having a good time, then what's happening is exactly what you're talking about. See, because she is igniting your masculinity, but you're just basically taking without giving. And you're thinking it's going well because it feels good to you. Now, this is not gender specific either. Okay? I've been on dates where the woman says, my gosh, this is the biggest fairy tale date I've ever been on my entire life. I've never been out and had more fun in my entire life. And I'm thinking the whole while, I'm wondering if I want a second date or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because she just sat there and sponged off me and really wasn't all that sexy.
Right.
But she's having a blast. You know?
Yeah, because she hasn't done anything in the last 6 years. So it's
right.
Like all of a sudden you take her dune buggy riding or whatever it is. And
right.
She's, and she's like, holy shit, there's a dune buggy.
Well, more importantly than that, here's a guy who actually treated me right. If she's been used to getting slapped around or cheated on or whatever, and she just has this pattern of attracting the wrong guys in her life.
Right.
A woman with no self-esteem. Fill in the blanks. It can be anything. But the takeaway is huge here. Because I think a lot of us guys do that to ourselves. We get in front of a woman who meets our needs, and we go into the mode, wow, this is so incredibly fun to be out with this woman. I mean, I hope all my friends see me. here at Chili's or Starbucks sitting in front of this great-looking woman. I hope my best friend walks in or somebody from work so I can just have this arm ornament of a woman sitting in front of me and she's giggling at my jokes. This is great. Well, wait a second. King's X, time out. Stand back and say, all right, you know what? This is what I deserve. I'm the kind of guy who can fire up a woman's femininity at will because I understand what it takes to do that. I know the difference, for example, between macho and masculine. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you probably want to talk about that because I don't think guys understand that.
Yeah, I'm not going to just go ahead and leave you hanging on that.
Okay.
Macho is I can drink more than you. I can do wheelies. I've got a boat. I graduated from Harvard. I can beat up your brother. I was on, you know, University of Oklahoma Sooners both ways, offense and defense. You know, I'm
both ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, that means offense, defense.
Oh, okay. I thought you were never mind.
I don't think that would come off as macho.
I didn't either. I was like, where are you going with that? Okay.
Unless you're in the Village People or something.
But there you go. All right.
Neither should you. Masculine is a man who completes femininity. Women are here to give joy. Women are here to bring happiness. Women are here to sustain and nurture life.
Right.
That is the stuff of life. That is what's important here. If you're not happy and you're not sustained and nurtured in this life, then you're nowhere. Men are providers and protectors. We are the keepers of the peace so women can go about their business of providing joy and happiness. Now, I mean, do men to some degree make people happy and bring joy? Of course. But what I'm saying is women do not want to be the protectors and they don't want to be the providers. They don't want to babysit your emotions at that table. They don't want to tell you where we're going to dinner. You're the one who decided on this date. Have a plan. They want to know that you have something in order someday, not necessarily so you can lay $1 million at their feet and that they can drive around in a Bentley or something. Most women aren't in a contest to see who's got the biggest rock on their finger with all their friends. They're really not. All they want is a guy who makes it so they don't have to worry about that.
Right. What,
they don't want a guy who comes home drunk with a completely different personality. They don't want a guy who's a complete waffle when it comes to his character. They don't want to have to worry about that. They don't want to have to worry, period. Women worry about a lot. Women are scared of a lot. And if you can solve that problem, you are a man. Courage. You have to be the one who removes the spider from the bathroom. Don't jump on the chair and tell her to go get raid. Take care of it. That's your lot in life.
Yeah.
And baseball, how to throw and catch. You are a man. It's not about being macho. It's about being the guy who solves this void for a woman. You show up and you're that guy. You will stand out the way media has gone in this culture, the way men are being told not to sexually harass women. And, you know, even if she likes you, if you try to kiss her, you'll go to jail. We're a confused lot around here. We've covered that time and again. But what I've just talked about is the difference between masculinity and machismo in a way that guys can understand. You show up and you be that guy. That's when even a great woman who knows what she wants, knows how to represent femininity, will sit across the table from you and start to get hot for you. And see, here's the thing. The more she's the kind of woman that every guy wants to try to lock down, the more your reciprocation of being the kind of guy that every great woman wants to lock down is going to work, the more effective it's going to be.
Right.
So in a sense, let's say you're a man who's got a great character. You do what you say you're going to do. If you meet a woman who lies, cheats, and steals, she's not going to like you. She's going to resent you. She's going to kick you to the curb. That was not rejection. That was natural selection.
Right.
Okay? I've had this talk with so many guys who are trying to, you know, start slow on Match.com. Go for the low-hanging fruit, and they get rejected. And they're like, my gosh, I got a Harvard degree, and I work out, and I'm this great guy who wants to treat women right, and she wouldn't go out with me. She wouldn't even respond to me. Well, dude, you were too good to be true. She's a human being just like you. She's wondering what's up with that. Meanwhile, you raise the bar and start going after women you perceive are going to be a good fit for what you really want and who you really deserve, and you actually get greater success. That's the part that guys miss. When this woman, who is naturally feminine, understands that we guys don't want to be competed with, we don't want to be upstaged, we want to be approved, you know, the irony of ironies, all of us as guys get shot down because we're approval-seeking and needy, yet what do we want most? Approval.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if we know how to get it by just laying back and feeling like we deserve it, we get what we want. And when there's a woman in front of us who gets that, you know, I talked about laughing at our jokes. That's a huge part of it. You know, when you have that woman in front of you and she's beautiful and she's feminine and all of that, and she's smart and she's a good conversationalist and she'll go dune buggy riding with you and she'll go sing karaoke with you. She knows she's good. She knows she's a hot property. She knows guys want a woman like that. So she will be very, very selective. But see, that doesn't mean because she's a chooser and not a chaser, you have to chase her. You can be a chooser too. Both Emily and I were first class choosers when we met each other. That's why we can both be dating coaches. We can both leave, you know, whatever we do, come back, and we implicitly trust each other because we know we both had lots of options, yet we chose each other. No one had to talk the other one into getting in a relationship and getting married. We're both glad to be here.
Right.
And see, that's kind of the culmination of everything we just talked about.
Gotcha. Yeah, you touched on a lot of good things that I was writing down some things I wanted to bring up. You know, you were talking about kind of, I don't want to say, you know, a man's role because that's not it. It's more or less, you know, the protector and things like that. I mean, I've noticed in my own life that there are lots of times where maybe there'll be a spider or something like that, and she will freak out, but it's not a freak out. It's like this play freak out. And so she wants me to, like, rescue her, kind of, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It's not even – she can do it. She can squash the spider. She can do all that stuff, but she wants a little mini fairy tale in the middle of the day where, you know, I go in and save her from the big nasty spider or whatever, and it's playful and things like that. And most guys don't pick that up. They don't realize that their woman is trying to, you know, actually ignite that both those sides, you know?
Right. I
mean,
I agreed.
You know, and then the other thing, I've got another analogy that I think you'll like, and I know that you will agree with, is, you know, when it comes to sex, you know, men have a thing that pokes out, women have a thing that goes in. It's not like two people having flat plates that rub up against each other, and that's how you get off. I mean, there's things that fit into each other, and that's the same thing you're talking about with your masculine and femininity. I mean, it's like each one has its role. It's not when you like saying, you know, two neuter people won't ever, you know, attract each other. I mean, to me, it'd be like the same thing. I mean, it'd be like, you know, if you were just rubbing, you know, two flat mounds on each other during sex. I mean, that's basically
kind of like Ken and Barbie, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was exactly like that. I mean, you know, it's so funny. And the final thing I kind of want to bring up, and I know that you will have a lot to say about this, but the reason I don't like a lot of techniques and tactics and things like that is because I found it's a lot more effective when it's who is doing the things versus what things you are doing. Let me give you an example. So let's say people say, never buy flowers on the first date, or never buy, you know, dinner, or you know, never buy anything for a woman or anything like that in the first couple of dates because it shows you're needy. Mm-hmm. Where I'm sitting, I've done that stuff all the time. And it depends on who's doing the buying and what context. If you're a very masculine man and you're taking that upon yourself to do that, and you're not being a needy, it's not a needy behavior, then it's totally fine. And in fact, it could take you above and beyond. Same thing with like opening car doors. I don't understand why guys don't open car doors for their women when they go out to dinner anymore. Even though you can click the little button, you know, why not just walk over, open the door, do the thing. And of course, the other thing is you could figure out if she's going to open the door for you too as well, you know, on the other side. It's kind of the manners. But, you know, it's just, it's interesting. It's not necessarily what you're doing, but what projection of you is doing that thing. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. First of all, if you're not opening car doors for women, you're missing massive opportunities for first kisses.
Yeah.
Period. I mean,
yeah.
Now, you've said two things that I want to go ahead and riff on a little bit. You were talking about women testing men. You know, women can take care of the spider themselves, but they don't want to. They want you to rescue them. Hey, nowadays we don't have to kill our own food and bring it home and stuff. You know, we can just go to the grocery store and get it. A lot of the natural, visceral line in the sand stuff that separates men from women is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean women aren't still pre-wired to crave it. He talked about, you know, the way our sexual plumbing is designed. You know, I talk all the time about how you can't change masculinity and femininity any more than you can change your own genitalia. Mm-hmm. And you know, what you're talking about is very, very important. I mean, men penetrate and women accept the penetration.
Right.
You know, it's an active versus a passive sexual role. That's the design. And if you think about how masculinity and femininity matches up to our genitalia, this is going to sound really odd. I know we're getting really deep.
Right.
But the personality of the plumbing matches up.
Mm-hmm.
Unless things are out of whack. And I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, you know,
write
me at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com and we'll have a birds and bees talk.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, yes, men are the aggressors sexually and women are the passive ones who take it. I mean, sure, you know, they can be on top and we can, you know, we're not going to go into that. We know that. And women like to play that role, but that just makes it exciting. Ultimately, women want to be taken by a guy they're sexually attracted to.
Right.
You know, you don't want to rape women, obviously. We have to give that caveat. But that's just the way sexuality is designed. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they want you to man up and be Prince Charming sometimes. And you just can't go, come on, just get a can of Raid and take care of it. I'm watching the game. This is a huge opportunity. See, because when women test you, they want to see if you're a man or not. And women don't test you because they want you to fail, gentlemen. They want you to win. Women test you because they want you to lead. Why do women test me so much? Why are they throwing all these roadblocks at you? They're not throwing roadblocks at you. They like you. They want to make sure that you can lead without them having to carry you.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about women being a protector, women needing a protector. Well, that doesn't mean you have to beat up people. It doesn't mean you have to be 6'5" and, you know, a gorilla. It means, you know, you have to make her feel comfortable around you first.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the guy who will take care of those little deals. You have to be the guy who, when he says he's got the insurance taken care of on the car, it was taken care of. Things like that, that's protecting a woman. That's creating an environment where she feels safe, whatever that means. It's showing up on time for a date and holding her accountable if she's late. Those things are all about protecting and providing.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of does address exactly what you were talking about. And I think it's important for a lot of guys to know that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I think Alex and I got talking about this a little bit, but I think part of it is also, you know, with her being comfortable with you, being able to open up to you and be honest about a lot, you know, and you as a man not being the type of person that's going to blow up on every little thing, even the smallest things, because, you know, let's say if she makes a mistake about something, I mean, she's going to want to come tell you and talk to you about it, and she's already going to be disappointed in herself. The last thing she needs is for you, the person she, you know, looks up to a certain degree, to come and berate her or whatever. I mean, it's basically a kind of a trust thing. I mean, she wants to know that she's going to be able to tell you stuff. And you're not going to just totally go, you know, ape shit and things like that. And that doesn't, and I guess just being able to keep your cool is a way of leading at the same time. Knowing what's important to act on and knowing what's really not important to act on. Are you a very, emotional, like blow up on everything where you're almost like a little firecracker, or do you have like a really long fuse? So you see what I'm trying to get at or what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, a guy who's a hothead cannot make a woman feel comfortable in his presence in the short term or the long term.
Right.
You know, you're talking about a woman being able to come to you with something that's on her mind and you not either berate her, make her feel stupid. I mean, if you're making people feel stupid or you're making people feel unworthy or inferior, then you're not making that person feel comfortable with you. And, you know, we guys can't stand when we do it to each other, and women can't stand it when we do it to them. The other thing guys do is they try to fix every problem a woman comes up with, and sometimes she just wants you to be there. Sometimes she wants you to hold her, because that fixing it isn't going to make her feel as comfortable right now as just basically wrapping your arms around her and letting her know that you're going to be there. regardless. And that's something a lot of guys don't understand. But when you get down to brass tacks, that's not gender specific either.
Mm-mm.
You know, when we have a bad day, we don't want the woman to tell us we're an idiot and that, you know, we're probably going to get fired and side with our boss and say, you know, I think you're stupid and you're not getting any dinner and I'm going to withhold sex from you because you're such an idiot. You know, when women nag us, we don't like them. And women are usually nagging us because we didn't man up about something and they're not feeling safe and secure. So that whole kind of frenzy feeds on itself.
Right.
The truth of the matter is we both want to be validated by our partner who's supposed to be on our side. I mean, admit it, guys. What is the worst thing that can happen when you and your boss or you and your best friend get into it? She sides with the other guy. She's supposed to be on your team.
Right.
You know, Emily's written about this before, man. If you want to chase a guy away, tell him everything he's done is wrong and all of his adversaries, everything he's doing, all of his adversaries, everything they're doing to him, they're all right. You know, he needs to change. Man, that's the woman who's got the boyfriend who won't marry her after 2 years, as opposed to the woman who guys are going to Jared and bring her diamond rings after every second date. You know, that's a big difference right there. There's no trust there. You can't trust a woman who's going to side with the other team all the time. Come on, man. But that's what goes on. That's the way a lot of women are. And when you're the guy who's trying to fix things or tell a woman she's stupid for having any emotion at all, she's not going to stick around with you either.
Right.
I mean, she may have a low self-esteem and stick around, but that's the same woman who would stick around with a jerk just because she knows how she's going to be treated. That's a woman with low self-esteem.
Right. So tell me this. I mean, we're getting into this whole, I guess, this side of things, talking about what women want. And there's this big kind of, well, maybe it's been over the last 5 years, this kind of movement that guys seem to think that women want bad boys and they want the guys that are they're attracted to the guys that just treat them like shit and all this stuff and that they can't get away from them and all this. I mean, what's the truth on that? I mean, how far is it? Is there any truth? I mean, what's that scenario? Because I know that guys are getting a lot of really bad advice on that, especially if they're trying to meet a significant other or someone to actually date versus someone to just kind of play around with.
Well, guys tend to think in a very binary manner, you know, zeros and ones.
Right.
That is one very key difference between men and women that I think is true. I don't think it's necessarily universally true. I think the guys who are the great thinkers, the most flexible thinkers, the captains of business, certainly the people with right brain sales guy kind of minds, are the ones who can think gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very good skill to have. But there's a lot of guys who think, okay, I either have to be Mr. Nice Guy or I have to swing the pendulum all the way the other way and be this flat out jerk. And I used to say there's this middle ground, but then I realized it's not a middle ground. You're not half nice guy and half jerk. You're a completely different kind of guy. This is off the board, and that's called being a great man of character.
Right.
Go figure. What's a popular thing to do here is for guys in the world of dating advice to talk to men as if women think like men. Why? Because it's believable. It's credible to guys that women would think in a logical way that we're telling each other they think. It's not credible, and it involves a little mental flexibility to start talking about women thinking differently the way you and I are talking today, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of guys are thinking, you know, these two guys are making a lot of sense. But see, when it comes down to the quick fix, when it comes down to marketing, when it comes down to the almighty dollar, what's going on is a lot of guys who are in this business of giving men dating advice are telling guys what their itching ears want to hear as men. And that's that, okay, here's why this happens. It happens because women, A, are a different species, and they really do think like we do. You know, anytime you show me a guy who says, well, women are the choosers and men are the chasers because women can choose whoever they want to have sex with tonight and reject all the other guys. Wait, stop. That's not how women think. Women think, all these guys are coming after me, and I can't find a single guy who I can trust to actually want a relationship with me instead of just wanting to have sex with me. If you start thinking, hey, wait a minute, that's how women think because they think differently than men, then you're going to stop thinking that they're the ones who have all the control.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't think like you. And if you can become this guy who represents the kind of man a woman wants to have a relationship with, that's when you're going to start realizing women are like, I can't find a guy who will stay with me. I mean, I could find a lot of guys who will use me and leave me,
Mm-hmm.
But you're the kind of guy I want to have a relationship with. Would you have a relationship with me? And then you become the guy who's got every bit as much sexual power as that hottie who creates a lot of sexual energy on the part of every guy who beholds her. You become that guy.
Right.
So, you know, what guys are being fed is this black and white. You know, women don't want Mr. Nice Guy, so they must want a bad boy. All right, well, hold on a second. Women with a solid sense of self, women who actually like themselves, are the only women you want to be with anyway. The other ones are going to be pure drama, pure trouble for you for the rest of your life.
Right.
We did a podcast with my friend David Shade. He's done a whole program on this, and he's dead right. Both of us have been with that woman before who had that self-esteem issue, and we paid because you just can't be good enough for her. So if you are saying women don't want Mr. Nice Guy, well, because they don't, you know, first of all, what's Mr. Nice Guy? Is Mr. Nice Guy the guy who is nice only to pretty women and letting the door slam on the older woman behind her when he's holding the door for her? Is it the guy with an agenda who wants something who's super nice, like the sales guy who's trying to sell you something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the kid at Best Buy who calls you sir every other sentence, but you know if he was off the clock, wouldn't be calling you sir.
Mm.
You know, is there a reality there? Are you transparent or do you have an agenda? And so when women feel like they're being sold because you're so nice, it's a little creepy to them.
Right.
If you're a pushover, if you'll give them whatever they want, then you just don't have value because you're just nice and you'll fold over and die. That's not having a backbone. That's not showing her that you can stand up to her before you can stand up for her. That's not showing that. So that's what's the problem with the bat with Mr. Nice Guy. It's not that they don't want a man who's good to her, see, but because we think like men and we think women think like men also. Of course, it's natural for us to think like men. We think, okay, well, she doesn't want nice. She must want bad. And we see these guys who mistreat women and who are kind of arrogant and have a lot of bad things going for them, and they end up with women. And we go, how did he end up with such a pretty woman? Well, talk to me 2 years from now, and let's see how that relationship's going, first of all. You know, jerky guys do not have solid, healthy, long-term relationships. I can promise you that, because women who are gravitating towards them are dysfunctional to begin with. She's probably busy trying to fix him, and if she ever fixed him, she wouldn't have any respect for him anymore anyway, and she'd run away. This is just dysfunctional. So where's the middle ground? Where's the middle ground nobody's thinking? Well, thinking about what has to come with some mental flexibility. You have to say, all right, well, listen, man, I'm going to think out of the box now. If I'm a great woman, you know, well, first of all, what is a great woman to you? What is she like? Well, she's probably raised right. She likes men. Right? She's not a man basher. She's, you know, probably intelligent. She knows what femininity is. She knows how to be supportive of you. You know, she doesn't have 5 credit cards that are maxed out and $300,000 in debt. She doesn't beat up her children. She doesn't throw hissy fits. She has emotional control to some degree. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that high quality woman going to put up with a man who mistreats her? Not for long. I mean, you know, you can pull the wool over people's eyes and lie to them for a while. But in the long run, that's gonna be, you know, put out in the open.
Right.
And obviously, we've had a really high profile figure in the sports world who had that happen to him in the past couple of weeks as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
In Tiger Woods. And, you know, I'm sure they're beating on Tiger probably more than is warranted. That's my opinion. But, you know, if you sleep around on a woman who doesn't want to be slept around on, then you're not the guy you presented yourself to be. Well, when you are a man who I call the big four man, you are this confident guy. In other words, you don't need to push people around or put them under your thumb to make yourself feel better. You're about making other people feel as cool as you think you feel. That's what a cool person does, by the way. They make everybody else on the court look better, just like Michael Jordan used to do. They're not trying to denigrate others to make themselves look to be in a more exalted position. So you're this person who's going to be having her best interests at heart because you're confident. You know you can get the job done, and that comes off to a woman as a guy who will have a plan. He can provide. right? And he can protect just because he believes it. She'll follow his lead. Women are hardwired to follow your lead. It goes back to the whole sexual design. And then when you're masculine in the way we described, you're just going to ignite her femininity. And that has nothing to do with your outward behavior in terms of whether you're robbing banks or helping baby ducks across the street. And just like you said, Brad, and I don't think I answered this question fully because we got wrapped around other stuff, which is fine. It's all important.
Sure.
But, you know, being this guy who on the first date can buy flowers, and, you know, in the case of Emily, for example, she called me 10 minutes after our first date. And I was a man who had a lot of options, and I didn't think she was needy. I didn't think she was clingy. Right?
Right.
You know, taking her out to nice restaurants. I used to take women out to nice restaurants on first dates because I wanted to try the restaurant.
Right.
I know that's a no-no. But see, all these things like, you know, I don't know, pick them. There's tons of them. The three-day rule. You don't call a woman for 3 days after you get her number. Yada, yada, yada. You know, you don't tell a woman you love her for 6 months. Whatever. Whatever the rule is. Those rules are designed to camouflage inherent neediness that really is there.
It's like training wheels.
Well, yeah, but the thing is they don't work. Training wheels work.
Well, true. they work until you take them off, and then you have to start all. Then you have to start all over again.
Right. Then you're just going to fall down.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're this guy and you're thinking, all right, well, I can't call her for 3 days because I'll look needy and clingy. I'll tell you what. 3 days from now, when you call her, you're still going to look needy and clingy because you are needy and clingy.
Right.
It's like the guy who always needs to ask what's next. That's not a big four guy. That's a guy who's dependent on lines. That's a guy who's dependent on routines. You got to be your own dog sooner or later. You've got to go out and make it happen. And you make it happen by being genuinely this big four guy. And the irony, Brad, is it's easier to work on this and become the big four guy than it is to learn this whole train of routines.
Right.
Plain and simple. So the net-net of it is what? You come along and you're this guy who is naturally this big four guy, you know, masculine, confident, able to make a woman feel comfortable in your presence, and you're this guy of character like I alluded to before, you can say and do whatever you want confidently while igniting her femininity, and it is going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
There were dates. There was one date I went on many years ago, much anticipated. You know, we'd seen each other from afar, and I, you know, she went to my sister's college, and I didn't visit often, but I wanted to know her after I saw her, and my sister introduced us. And we talked, you know, and stuff like that. And when we met, we knew it was going to be one of those deals where we mutually attracted each other. There was real chemistry there. And that date lasted 72 hours straight. I was supposed to go to work the next morning.
Damn, dude.
She was supposed to go to class the next morning. We took a 3-day vacation and did not leave each other's presence.
Mm.
And guess what? It went well after that. Ultimately, I didn't marry her, but, you know, that was months down the road.
Sure.
There was a 72-hour date there. Talk about leaving her wanting more, lest you look needy or clingy. That was out the window. I've already said Emily called me 20 minutes after our first date, and I'm married to her. There was no game playing. There didn't need to be any game playing because we were two confident people who had options and we were choosing each other. Women can sense this. They can smell it. Like a Doberman smells fear, you know, that old cliche.
Right.
So if you don't have to, if you're naturally, I should say, this confident masculine person, then you're not going to need to play those games. And see, this is not just about chick whispering, you know, or understanding women. This is human nature. This is not gender specific.
Let's talk about this real quick, because I know you have a history in this. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were saying that it happened with you and Emily. But let's go back to when you were talking about if you're masculine and confident, and you're just kind of, I like to think of it as, this is me, this is who I am, I'm presenting myself to the world, take it or leave it kind of a thing, in kind of the most positive way possible. But I can remember numerous times where I have said things, done things, I mean, that in most people's eyes, or most guys' eyes, would be like, that's, oh man, you made a mistake. No way she's liking you now. But instead of it being like this catastrophic just bumble, it was like just like a hiccup. And it just kind of hiccuped, and then you just kind of kept on going. You kind of laugh it off or whatever, or you say, oh man, I can't believe that came out, or that didn't sound right, or something like that, right? And then what I realized was it wasn't really a hiccup at all. It was, when you have this type of thing under control, it's actually kind of like a humanizing element, because you're at this such a high level. And I've talked about before on how a lot of guys, when you get a higher up in level, you don't realize that you actually become the intimidator instead of the intimidatee. Actually, it humanizes you, where she goes, and you said this to me before. You said, Emily, you like blew up and got pissed off about something, and she was like, oh God, thank God you're human. You were just too perfect.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It like humanized you. So what, instead of it being this thing that would just totally be catastrophic, like if a needy guy was doing it and all of a sudden he just made this mistake or something, it'd be like over. If you make this same mistake, it's actually a positive. And that's really, I mean, I don't know if guys are really going to be able to wrap their hand around that, or wrap their mind around that, but that's really how it is.
Well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's go into some really deep stuff here. Let's go into some advanced, serious game here.
All right.
I call this the 85-15 rule. If 85% of the time you are this guy who is a man, that's who she thinks you're going to be. If 85% of the time you are this wuss bag, that's who you are. And it's going to be tough to recover with the two or three heroic things you did. She's going to think they're flukish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is all within reason. Obviously, you know, you can screw up really bad. I mean, if you're 98% of the time this great guy and then you rob a bank at gunpoint, there's probably going to be a little excessive drama. She's probably going to leave. But I'm talking about normal human error, okay? If you haven't had a whole lot of sleep and you're hungry and you do something that is kind of a little too whiny or needy or shows you don't have, you know, as much control as you're usually known to have by her, she will credit that to you as humanity.
Yeah.
A woman would actually like to be able to care for you sometimes. Now, she can't be your mommy and your lover at the same time. And welcome to why a lot of guys get put in the just be friend zone, because she feels like she has to nurture and care for you and carry you when she's the one who needs to be protected and provided for. She can't do both of those things. She can't feel sexually towards you if she's carrying you. That's a huge takeaway from this call right there.
Right.
But, you know, when we do mess up, we should apologize.
Oh, yeah.
We should say, you know, the hallmark of a guy who's worried about the fact he messed up, thinking it's going to kill his whole persona, probably because is the guy who refuses to be sorry. I'm sorry, even when you did nothing wrong. Grew up, you go, hey, hold, I didn't uphold my end of the bargain there. For that, I apologize. Doesn't happen again.
Right.
Vent, and she gets mad at you, you just let her. You don't get defensive. You'd be surprised. Sometimes if you are at the top of your game, and this is where the advanced part comes in, you need to show some humanity sometimes, or else she's just not going to believe you can possibly be for real. It's going to be like you're so good that we're back to, all right, when's the real version going to jump out from behind the rock? I'm not feeling safe and secure. I can vent at Emily. I can really get upset, lose my cool sometimes. And we've gotten to the point in our relationship where she knows I'm never going to lift a finger to hurt her. She knows I'm not going anywhere. She knows what's really in my heart, and we just kind of end up laughing about it.
Right.
And so I feel a little bit more free to vent about stuff because it's in my personality than I did when I first met her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she feels a little bit more free to do some certain things that you know, she didn't do when we first met. That's called maturity and growth in your relationship. We love each other, and that trust builds, and it's really neat. It's fun. It's like you don't ever really have to worry. You don't have to be self-conscious at all. And I think a lot of guys need to realize that no matter how good you get at stringing all the ducks in a row and putting your line together and knowing how to ask her out and knowing what to do when you get her on the phone if she gets voicemail and knowing the technique for getting the first date and making sure the second date happens, and they may be really good at pulling everything together, but there's just nothing like being freed up from that again. You know what it's like, Brad? It's like the difference between having to live by a budget because you're working for the man on a fixed income versus being financially free.
Right.
That's the love and romance, if you will, equivalent of that. You know, you can make $150,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. Working for a company, but if they lay you off, you're screwed, and it's still only $150,000 a year, right?
Right.
That's the guy who's pretty good with his game and knows how to string together the lines and knows exactly what to do and has the whole book memorized and what to do in every specific situation. But if you can just show up and let it flow because you're confident in your big four ability to create attraction and keep women attracted, you don't ever have to even worry about or even concern yourself about that again. In fact, let me go ahead and blow some people's minds. There's going to be guys who write me, and again, Scott at deservewhatyouwant.com with one T. You can go for it. If you want to disagree, I love spirited email discussions, so go for it. When you are this big four guy who stands out from the crowd, you know, stands out from the herd of guys who are acting like Raymond from Everybody Loves Raymond and don't know what women want, don't understand women. It comes back to that. When you are this guy who represents what women want, you may find yourself across the table on a date with a woman you met from Match.com who you're not really sure about. Or, you know, you think she's cute, but, you know, you're not necessarily seeing marriage potential there. She might be fun to get to know and hang out with a little bit. There comes a time, and you know, for the sake of everybody listening, I know you guys, if some of you have gone through a dry spell here and you're thinking it can never happen to you, I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to achieve than you think. Once you get your act together and you're this big four guy, and the reason I said that, by the way, is because you don't have a whole lot of competition in the real world.
Right.
There's these handsome GQ guys that you're thinking get all the women, and they can get first dates and not second dates. That's what I'm talking about.
You'll never hear
about that.
Which is worse.
Which is way worse.
That's one thing I think I've said before. Is like the biggest insult in the world is not being able to get a first date or sleep with a girl with the first time. The biggest insult in the world is not being able to get a second date or sleep with her a second time.
Yeah, you put a woman in front of me and I will get the second date.
Right.
Getting the first date, maybe, maybe not, you know, but, you know, I would agree 1,000%. I would rather be the guy who can get the second date.
Right.
But what I'm saying is when you become this guy who stands out from the crowd by being a big four guy, okay, and you're in front of a woman who you don't necessarily see as marriage potential, it not only goes back to what you were talking about so eloquently, Brad, about you are all of a sudden the intimidator to the woman, and not in a physical bad boy I'm going to beat you up sense, but my gosh, this guy's too good to be true. I've got to ramp up my game. Am I good enough for him? You know, you not only have to start worrying about that, okay, or concerning yourself with that is a better word. You sometimes have to ratchet back your charm.
See.
You have to, like, not give her the full brunt of this. You can't go shock and awe on a woman you're not sure about. Because these women will fall in love with you. Fast. And if you're just charming her socks off, you're going to have yourself one political situation after another with women you're not really in love with. They're going to want to lock you down, man. And it's going to be harder and harder to say, hey, look, you know what?
Let's just be friends.
When you're a guy who's – the one who's giving the just be friends talk, man or woman, is the one who's got control and who's the chooser instead of the chaser.
Right.
That's the yardstick right there. And yes, guys, you not only can be giving the just be friends talk, you need to learn how to do it and not fear women crying or whatever because we will use that against you. But, yeah, if you're out on the date with a woman and you are absolutely throwing her – everything you've got in terms of your ultimate ability to charm a woman, you've got this big four just flowing, like lighting up, okay? She's just going to, you know, not only will she say things like, look, I've got a babysitter. Will you please just take me back to your house? How long are you going to make me wait? Not only will you start hearing things like that, they're going to want to marry you, man.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you've got to go out on dates with women you're still kind of evaluating and kick back. Don't charm her so much, you know. Maybe take a little extra time to look at the menu. Maybe, you know, don't feel like you've got to have the sharpest answer or the most confident thing going on. You know, maybe you'll slip and ask her where she wants to go for dessert just to kind of throw a wrench in it. You know, you actually kind of have to ratchet this stuff back, and it's hard to do.
Right.
But you have to have that sense of presence and that sense of self to realize I've got to go out of my way to make sure I'm not getting women to fall in love with me. And I will tell you something, gentlemen. There are women who are doing this to you. I mean, it's not even so much doing this to you. There are women who are very cognizant of this whole dynamic because it's not, once again, it's not gender specific.
Right.
There are women who have a problem with guys wanting to marry them who are going out with you and clamming up and sitting there and looking cute and basically turning the charm back to about a 4 out of 10 just to see what they think of you. And there's no reason why you can't do it. And man, you talk about someone with a lot of sexual confidence, it's that person. I'm going to, at the risk of Emily hearing this and laughing her head off, I'm going to tell you something that you and I, Brad, have actually laughed about, but I'm going to tell you about it. Emily and I have a little son together. And, you know, when kids are in preschool, you know, they don't necessarily have the outlet to play with other kids their age. So Emily did something very cool. She started a meetup group for moms with preschool age kids for the benefit of the moms making friends with each other and having a social outlet and for the kids. Well, you know, Emily and I got cracking on a baby here a little later than some people do. So, you know, what age group of women has two, three-year-old kids? Usually women under 30.
Right.
Well, Emily has a group of women, and most of them can't stand their husbands. They're not happy. They, you know, complain, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I work at home. Okay. So Emily will hold these play group meetings or lunch meetings or whatever, and it'll be a parade of estrogen in this house. I mean, it'll just be a lot of women, okay? And some of these women are just beautiful. And they do crazy things, Brad, like come take their shoes off and run around barefoot and just have a femininity party in my house. And Emily's crazy about me. Emily speaks very highly of me, and I do everything I can to flesh out what I talk to you guys about. And I'll tell you something. When these women show up, the first couple times I was just my good old happy self. And I had women like grabbing my butt and stuff when Emily wasn't looking and giving me these doe-eyed looks about how their husbands were just not treating them right. And could I talk to them and things like that? And I realized very quickly, even without Emily having to say anything, because Emily, you know, it's no big deal to her. I had to kind of either hide or not. You know, just kind of be a little colder at these meetings. I couldn't come out and just crack my jokes and grab a handful of chips and roll my eyes at something somebody said and tell her she was a brat and go back into my room because I'm turning these women on. And yeah. I mean, I hope this is coming off right to guys listening, but it's a rookie mistake once you get to being a big four man to drive these women nuts because it's not fair.
Right. Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, at risk of, I put out a report about 2 weeks ago, and basically the theme of the report is exactly what we're talking about now, except for it had to do with getting in better shape. And I made some social, and the easiest way for me to actually kind of draw the conclusions was to make social analogies and things like that. But basically what I was saying is that as a man, once you start getting in a lot better shape and you start looking better, then you have to realize that you will start to intimidate people and you have to kind of lower yourself down as you're talking to them because that whole trying to, you know, you in their eyes, you are already the shit, for lack of a better term. You're already the shit. You don't have to prove yourself anymore. And in fact, in order to relate to people a lot of times, you have to drop down a little bit because else, you know, if you try to go over the top, well, then you're just an arrogant asshole. Or even worse, like you're saying right now, you're a tease without knowing you're being a tease.
Yeah, you just can't steamroll people. But see, you know, Brad, what you're talking about is a skill, because you can't talk down to people either. You can't.
Yeah, it's not talking down. Like, you know what, right. I'm, you know what I'm saying? It's not like.
I do know what you're saying.
Let me clarify that, because maybe people, guys listening, are thinking I'm talking about talking down, like belittling people, and I'm not talking about that. I'm basically saying, if I had to draw another analogy, it would be kind of like, oh man, this is a stretch, but you know how it's like when you talk to little kids, how you kind of, there's a different way you talk to them, and you realize that if you talk to them like a normal person, that they're not gonna get it, or that you might scare them away, or it's not like that, but that's kind of the best I can do with kind of that mentality of where you're at. I mean, you don't, if there's a little kid and you're like, you don't walk up to him in a grocery store if the kid looks lost and go, "Hey kid, you lost your mommy." You know what I mean? You just intimidated the kid, and the kid's gonna run away crying or something, right? I mean, you kind of get down a little bit, scooch down, and say, "Hey, you know, have you lost your mommy?" Kind of that type of thing. I mean, it's like it's like a different way. Once you get to that level that you're talking about, that big four, you have to realize you have to realize where you're at and how you're affecting people, and how to, I don't really like to use the word calibrate, because it's
kind of PUA-ish, huh?
It is. But in reality, it's kind of like you have to realize what you're doing and kind of like understand where you're at. Because
you have
could
to be able to adapt to your audience.
Right. And we've talked about this before in one of the interviews we've done in the past. But one of the things I don't think guys understand is that the difference between going from a needy guy to like a big four type of guy, it isn't like a slow progression. It's like all of a sudden you just get it. It's like almost like snapping a finger. It's like
there's a ramp up.
Right.
A little bit of a ramp up. But once you start seeing the successes that come from the little light bulbs going on, it's like the whole, like, have you ever, I don't know if the new school stadiums are like this as much. It's been a couple of years since I've gone to a game. But I remember back in the day when my dad used to take me to Colts games and Orioles games when we lived in Baltimore. Sometimes we'd get to Memorial Stadium, the old Memorial Stadium, right,
mm-hmm.
in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the game would start in the afternoon, especially the football games, if it was the 4 o'clock game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it would end when it was dark. And the lights in the stadium would start going on.
Right.
And they had to warm up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
See the light starting to sparkle. But you knew what was coming. And then it was like about 5 minutes later, it was like wham, bam, 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 bam. All the lights would just warm up and come on. That's the analogy that I got. And I think that's exactly right. You know why that is, Brad? I'll tell you. Because it's in us already. We're born to be this guy.
Right. I agree.
Society has told us to squelch it. Society is what's neutered us. We're not, you know, we still got a pear hanging between our legs. We're still guys. We're still men. We still want to be this guy. Just like a 747-400 wants to fly, it doesn't want to sit on the tarmac. You know, once you put the flaps in position and you motor a 747-400 down a runway, once it gets to a certain speed, it is not going to want to stay on the ground anymore.
Right.
That's what you were born to be. And whether you're a 747 sitting on the tarmac or flying has a lot to do with how much you're going for it and applying it, okay? You know, you're either sitting there idle or you're running down the runway trying to take off, and you want to fly. And once you get a taste of this flight that we're talking about, and we just worked some really good analogies into this one, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to be able to land, and you're going to start realizing, hey, you know what? This is what I'm born to do, and it feels good, and it feels right. And you're going to start seeing women respond to these little things you're doing.
And it's easier.
It's easier because it's validated.
Yeah.
See, it will be validated because these are women we're talking about here. When you do things that ignite a woman's femininity, you will get validated unless there's something wrong with her. And then, of course, if there's something wrong with her, you learn the difference between that and rejection, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you do these things that women want guys to do, it's going to end well for you just about every time. And once you see that pattern start to develop and you taste a few successes, replicating it becomes easier and easier and easier.
Right. And that's the reason why we're talking about what we're talking about, as far as going so far as saying that you will eventually be, you get this under wraps, you will be the intimidator. We're not saying that because we're trying to future project or anything like that, or any of that new age hokey stuff to make you, you know, to give you false hopes or anything like that. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it happens. Once you get it, you get it. And it's like, it's almost like, I'm not going to say it's like riding a bike, but it's kind of like riding a bike. It's like you get it and then bam. And at that point, you need to know this stuff, because then you're going to be like having all sorts of new problems that you think are related to the old problems, but they're not. They're related to this new level that you're operating on, because you're on a new level. You're operating on a new level. It's like the guy that I put this in the report. You can relate to this. It's like the guy wrote me one time, and he says, you know, I'm typically a pretty popular guy or whatever, and you know, he was in college. He was like, when I'm at parties and stuff like that, I typically know everybody there. I'm giving them high fives and stuff like that. And then, you know, I walk up to a pair of women and start talking. I start trying to joke on them and things like that. And it just doesn't seem to go that well. What's going on? And I said, well, duh. They already think you're cool. Everybody else is proving that you're cool. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that stuff. The only guys that have to do that stuff are the guys that aren't cool.
That's right.
So it's like, I was like, dude, if you just took that out, I said, these women are probably intimidated because you know everybody there. You have this status that they witnessed. And they're like, you've got that mystery or whatever, because, you know, who is this guy? He knows everybody or everything. And then you come out of the gates, you know, being over the top and everything, and you kind of blow it, you know, with them. You know, they don't know what to think. They get scared. They're like, he's arrogant or whatever. And it's just, it's a different, you're on a different level. So I don't know. I think you agree with me on this. It's funny to me that I feel like it's much easier to learn how to become cool than it is to learn all the tactics and techniques that it takes to quote unquote pull women.
Well, to me, it's the difference between lying and telling the truth. It's harder to lie than it is to tell the truth, because if you lie, you got to remember all the pieces you've laid out and not misstep. Whereas if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about that. So if you are genuinely this guy, then you don't have to worry about lining everything up and misstepping. You just show up and you are who you are.
Right. I mean, it's not like dominance.
Intimidator. And obviously we don't want to be intimidating to women, because that doesn't make them feel safe in our presence. You know, we don't be this like Dale Earnhardt guy. You know?
Right, right, right.
We want to, you know, the thing is, though, the irony of it is, when women know you have the capacity to be so sharp, when you can just fire on all cylinders like that, and you're gracious all the while, you know, you're nice to animals, you're nice to waiters and waitstaff, you're nice to people who are less fortunate, making them feel better about themselves as opposed to talking down to them. You've got that magic going.
Mm-hmm.
They're more comfortable with you.
Right.
I mean, it just has this exponential cumulative effect. It just keeps building. Success just breeds success. And you get these women who are just, they're just mesmerized by you.
Yeah. You know what, man? Let's take the last 5 minutes, because we've been about 90 minutes and we could go on forever on this stuff. I know we can, but let's take the last 5 minutes, and not to try to future project again, but let's tell the guys how to actually, what are some telltale signs of whether a woman is, or what are some, I don't want to say tricks and techniques, but what are some situational things? I've got one in mind, and I'll start. That will clue you off onto whether a woman or any person is a good fit. You kind of already mentioned it, but one of the things that I always do is take people, whether it be people I want to do business with, people I want to date or get to know better, I always take them to restaurants or places where there will be someone serving you. And I just watch how that person reacts to the person serving. And in my mind, I'm really hoping that the order gets screwed up somehow, because the way that person reacts to the server when that happens And if you have to pay attention, because a lot of people will be on their best behavior. So pay attention. You can see when they're bottling stuff up or whether they're being authentic or not. But the way the person responds to the server, that is how they're going to treat you in about 6 months.
That's true.
You know, so that's kind of my number one thing. I'm sure you've got lots more. This is more your thing, but do you have any other ones kind of like that you can kind of maybe situational things to pay attention to, or like maybe little tests that you could kind of put people in situations in that would kind of help to filter these qualities out?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're intrigued, first of all, if you're intrigued by a woman, feel free to put some tests her way too to see if she passes them.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's not necessarily game playing. You just want to see what she's like. You know, just ask her questions. Just don't lead her into the answers, you know. One of the things I look for is, does she dislike guys? I mean, is she a man basher? Has she been hurt so many times and damaged and guys, you know, have had sex with her and left her? I mean, what is her general attitude towards men?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing is general negativity versus being optimistic. You know, she hate all sorts of things, you know,
yeah.
And that's just not going to, that's going to be a bummer. Is she a bummer, or is she a person who is all about looking at the positive moving forward? Sense of humor. I mean, most people will tell you they have a sense of humor, but most people don't. I mean, if she doesn't laugh, she doesn't think things are funny. If she can't go with the flow, if she's real edgy about stuff, you know, that, of course, is another red flag. And, mm-hmm. you know, the irony of this whole conversation, Brad, is there's nothing here that's gender specific.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, just people in general, because
red flags are red flags.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody that's listening to this is probably, from what I've seen, probably 30 years old to 50 years old, right around there, professional, you know, white collar. So, I mean, that's why we kind of go into a lot of this stuff, is because, you know, these guys are wanting to be able to pick these things out. I mean, not necessarily about women, but, you know, a lot of this stuff is translational. I mean, it kind of transcends just the whole women thing. I mean, it actually can go into, you know, you and your buddies or business partners that you're thinking about getting business with. Where do you want to work for a certain person or not? You know, those type of things. So, you know, I like this. Do you have any more?
Sure. I could go on and on. Women who say I'm sorry all the time and assume everything's their fault and that they screwed up, that's a sign of poor self-esteem. This is one that's very pragmatic. Those of you guys who are dating single moms, if she doesn't have custody of her own kids, I'd want a long, detailed explanation of why.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sorry if that sounds judgmental, but that says a lot, because we're talking the judicial system that's going to favor women as moms.
Right.
And when a woman doesn't have custody of her own kids, there's usually something up there that you need to know about.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty messed up situations where the mom still ended up with the kids. So,
I would be very careful of women who drink excessively on first dates.
Okay.
I would be very wary of women who are a little bit too overeager on first dates in terms of, you know, wanting to compliment you. I mean, I think there's going to be a little manipulative agenda coming there, especially if you're a guy of means. Watch out for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy's always like, oh, women love these guys with money. Dude, sometimes having the money is the biggest curse when it comes to finding a great woman. You ask anybody who's like, I don't know if you're going to be able to ask them, but if you ever research how people are when they become mega celebrities or even public figures of any kind, it's hard to make friends or find people that really want you for who you are, because everybody's kind of a hanger-on and they have an agenda. They want something from you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes having a lot of money or having this kind of social proof that we all dream of having can be a curse.
Right.
You know, so look for that agenda and don't be blind to it. Man, I used to have a customer back when I was in the IT world who was so arrogant, Brad. I mean, he was so self-absorbed, thinking he was just deserving of special treatment, that salespeople could come in and just play the guy into million-dollar deals just by flattering him.
Wow.
I mean, some of us can get so wrapped up that we actually believe our own BS. And, you know, people will take advantage of that. That's a manipulator's dream.
Oh, sure.
look out for manipulators. There's another one. You know, if you loved me, if you like me, you'll give me $20. You know, any woman who's looking for financial favors from you, any woman who's bargaining her sexuality with you in that regard or any other regard, stay away. Women who do anything. I mean, this would be a one strike and they're out, okay? Anything that seems incredibly irrational, out of place, or just out of the blue. Like, just the conversation changes to something that's completely freaky. You know, you've got to be on your guard to make sure women are emotionally stable. And if you see any sign of emotional instability, cut it. Get out. Run away. Please, do me a favor. If you take anything away from this conversation, do that. If a woman says something you don't understand, you can ask her to elaborate a little bit. And, you know, you have the right to do that. Don't just sit there with your hands folded and go, okay, what does she mean by that? I'm just not going to go there. Go there. Say, hey, you know, what was that? You know, an example would be like, I'm at work today and my boss has installed secret cameras to spy on me. And I know they're watching me all day long. So I do this and blah, blah. Wait. Stop.
Yeah, why in the world would your boss have secret cameras on you?
Right.
What did you do?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for.
Here. That's what I would do. I would say it playfully because that would be just me joking around. You know,
right.
I would take that as bait. You know, that she was kind of throwing out to have fun with me. I would do that anyway. But yeah you
women
might
start talking about their imaginary friend who talks to them at night, and then she changes. You know, anything like that.
Yeah, you might.
And you guys are rolling on the floor laughing hearing this. But, man, let me tell you something. I just crossed over the big 4-3, and I've seen a lot in my life.
Yeah.
And anything can happen. And human beings are unique individuals, and you've just got to look alive out there.
Yeah.
If she flakes out on you once, it's over. Don't give her a second chance. I don't care how cute she is, all right? That's called being clouded by beauty vision.
Yeah, let me talk about the flake thing real quick.
Okay,
It's not a flake if she says that something came up and she can't do it and she reschedules with you.
Yes, agreed.
That's not a flake. Cause I mean, that's kind of my thing. If a woman says, you know, oh man, this just came up. I'm so sorry, whatever. You know, is there another time that we can get together? Like maybe tomorrow I'm free or something like that. I'm so sorry. That type of thing is not a flake. That in reality, it could be one of two things. Number one, it could be that something really did come up, or number two, she could be really nervous. And she needs to get herself together or something like that. But if she reschedules with you, I would not. That's not a flake in my book. You know,
agreed.
You know, guys, I know guys, oh man, she's calling me canceling or whatever. I mean, this sucks. She's not being, you know, she's not respecting me or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's not it. I mean, if she's rescheduling and being, I'm not going to say emphatic. That's probably a bad word, but just being very upfront and just like, so, you know, just, that's totally different. It's not a flake. So.
Emily rescheduled our first date.
Sure.
Yeah, she got a 24-hour flu or something and said, you know, I feel terrible about this, but I can't do it.
Right. Yep. But yeah,
it
yeah.
happened.
Yeah.
First date happened and it went well, you know.
I think guys will be and they maybe after listening to this, they'll be able to pick up on stuff now. But I think guys will be very, very, very what's the word I'm looking for? Just amazed. How about that? Very amazed at the sheer amount of things that come out of women's mouths that are just meant to try to impress you.
Yes.
And you probably didn't even know it, but you'll probably know it now because you've listened to this and you're like, okay, well, is this who she is? Or is she just trying to say this to impress me? Am I already one of these guys and I don't even realize it?
Well, you know, you bring up a huge point. A lot of guys already have the big four under control. They just need to believe it. A lot of guys, you know, women are creatures of subtlety. They go out on dates and women are trying to impress them. Women are actually even testing the waters sexually with little flirts and innuendos.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are so worried about not screwing up that they completely miss it. And women are feeling rejected. They're feeling like, well, what did I do? How come he didn't, you know, bite off that one? You know, who knows? You know, why guys don't do it, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Guys don't do it a lot of times because we don't believe our own power. And, you know, it's just like the woman who's beautiful and doesn't realize it. What a gem is she?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of us guys who are what every woman wants, and we just need to go out and live that and believe it. We need to take hold of it and go for it.
Yeah, I think the assumption most guys make, and it's a really bad false assumption, is that women have guys coming up and talking to them all the time. And that's false on two levels. Number one, from what I know, and like I say, when I go to seminars and stuff, I usually end up talking to most of the women there just because, you know, there's only like three. And so what I've found is that, you know, in a room full of men, most of the women will only get talked to like maybe three or four times over a 3-day period by another guy. So that's false. Now, on the second level, even if a woman is getting approached and talked to all the time by men, it's always by the wrong men.
Or it's incomplete.
Right. It's always
talk to her, impress her, and then he won't have the balls to ask for her number.
Right.
It's like, what did I do wrong? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you hear women, or not women necessarily, but maybe it's in magazines and stuff. They say, where are all the good guys? Where did the good guys go? Mm-hmm. It's not because the good guys went anywhere. It's like the good guys are sitting on the sidelines wondering what the hell to do, and all the guys that don't need to be out there talking to the women are the ones putting their foot forward. But the guys that could be cleaning up, I mean totally cleaning up with all these women, are the ones sitting on the sidelines because they just don't think they could step up.
Well, we've been trained to think that that's not what women want, or we would be sexually harassing them. And so guys who are decent and have morals are the most likely ones not to approach women who are strangers.
Right. And I'm not even talking about strangers necessarily. I mean, even parties are
– Sure. Well,
I mean,
true.
Where you know, you could be introduced to – it's just – it's odd. Well,
there's even more at stake there if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's easier to approach a stranger and not – be worried about sexual harassment than it is a coworker or a friend of a friend, because then that would have social ramifications. That ripple effect would go, you know, especially the intelligent guys, those of us who are really smart, we have this if-then loop that we work ourselves into by virtue of analysis paralysis. And, you know, we take a simple act like going and talking to a woman, and basically we project it out to being behind bars or something, you know?
Right.
I mean, and then so we never do it. Meanwhile, the guys who, you know, act before they think are the ones most likely just to start, you know, whistling at women and talking to them or whatever.
Right. But, you know, the sad part about it is that the only reason those guys are doing it because they know it's not going to work, but they do it. So they said they tried, but right. it's a half-assed try.
It's you like, know, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like going up to bat at the, you know, and having a guy throwing to you at 90 miles an hour, and you sitting so far back and so far to the back of the batter's box, and you just kind of swing as you go by because you want it to be over, you want it to be over with as fast as possible.
Right.
But so you can tell yourself that you at least tried. That's what that's like.
Agreed. You know, I just thought of something that might be a really nice way to close.
Okay.
I think every guy's heard of the movie The Notebook, but I bet about 10% of us have actually watched it. I mean, it's just chick flick par excellence, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just the king of all chick flicks, right? And if you don't know anything about the movie, it's an old couple basically recounting how they fell in love when they were young. And, you know, you don't know what's the, you know, I don't want to give it away. But it's basically the entire story of how they fell in love. And I fought watching this blasted movie for years and years, but Emily had me cornered on a 14-hour flight a week and a half ago, and we had nothing better to do, so I finally relented and said, all right, fine, I'm going to watch the blasted Notebook movie with you, but when we're done, we're going to watch Fight Club or something, you know. And I watched this movie, okay? And I would guarantee every guy either, you know, don't watch it with – well, I don't know. Maybe you should watch it with a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You'll get her – I mean, it's a total tearjerker. I mean, if you don't – if it doesn't fail to get you at the end, you probably don't have a soul. You know, you probably should go repent or something. I don't know.
Right.
But, I mean, have you ever seen this movie?
I read the book, yeah.
Oh, you read the book. Well, the book is probably better than the movie.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is it will fry every pickup artist's circuits to the core. I mean, it'll be an electrical fire in your brain watching this movie, okay? But when you watch this movie, you've got to watch it from the perspective of a woman and think of everything we talked about here in this call, because it is a fascinating case study on how the right guy can do a lot of wrong things when getting to know a woman and getting to build that relationship with her and still have her be totally, totally enthralled and in love with him.
Right.
I mean, when he meets her, he screws up
big
just
time.
About every way.
Yeah.
He comes off wrong, but in a weird way, he comes off right.
Right.
He's so wrong, he's right, because of how persistent he is. He, you know, the PUA guys would say, oh, man, he's really needy, because he basically gets one-itis really bad. He knows this chick is his chick from the minute he sees her. And he's just really, really pushy and needy. But because he's so confident and masculine,
it works.
It works.
Yeah.
And I think that goes right to the core of what we were talking about, is how you can be this big four guy. And women will still be amazed and be impressed, or whatever you want to call it. It'll work, is the point. So I would recommend, you know, guys, go watch that movie. You know, it's a chick flick. It's hard to watch. You know, at the end, it gets really mushy. But if for no other reason, you just watch how he introduces himself to her and how he eventually wins her over. And watch particularly the moment when he wins her over for good. Because that was the point where he truly got what it is that women want from a man. So I would say definitely watch that movie. And I know it's kind of a teaser for me to sit here and talk about that without giving it away, but I'll give you a hint. It's at nighttime and they're in the street and there's a red light involved. So when you see that part in the movie, that's where the guy really gets that woman to fall for him. That's where he had everything ramped completely up.
Right.
But, you know, I just couldn't help but think about having watched that movie kind of as the culmination of this whole conversation we've been having.
Culmination. Who is that guy that says that? I forget. There's a movie. I'm sorry, man. I think it's like the Water Boy, where the one guy just repeats like one word out of the sentence, and one of them was culmination. Sorry, man.
Great word, man. It is definitely time to culminate this call, too.
Yeah, it is, man. All right, so where's this site at, man? I'll link it up and all that stuff so people can get to it. But just in case guys have made it this far, or I know they made it this far because it's good stuff, but which one is it?
Well, do you have a URL for them?
No, it's just yours.
Okay. Well, then I would suggest they go to www.chickwhispering.com. I had a brain in my head and got the right URL, one that was easy to remember. It's the name of the program. Chick Whispering is the program, not to be confused with The Chick Whisperer, which is the podcast. I'm trying to differentiate those there. And what you'll get when you go there is enter your email address, get on my newsletter, which is, as you can probably figure out, I love to generate content. We've been talking nonstop here for 93 minutes, so why would I hold back on you on the newsletter? I send you lots of fresh content. I love to think about this stuff. I'm a geek for it, and it's just a pass-through right to you guys. So get on my newsletter, and when you do, I will email you a special report, really, is a better way to call it. And it's a program on how to get the first date and get the second date. In other words, like I talked about, there's continuity here with you being the right guy. Get that woman to go out with you and make sure she wants the second date. This is something every guy could use. Take you about 8 minutes to read it, and it's yours free with my compliments. And then when you get to the second page, you'll be able to look at this whole program we've been talking about called Chick Whispering, which is where I poured my heart and soul into giving you guys everything you'll need in terms of understanding women in a way that's going to make sense to you. I don't give you a little checklist to follow because, ironically enough, that's not how women operate.
Right.
So I give you stories, I give you examples, things that are going to bounce around in your head and cause you to get the big picture, because that's how we understand women. So it's probably going to be something a little different than you expect, but it's going to be something you really like. And I've also added 10 modules to it featuring some of the greatest male and female minds I know of on the subject. I've kind of reached into the vault and gotten every bit of content we've ever done that related very well to understanding and relating to women. As you can imagine, there's quite a bit of it, and there's some good bonuses. And best of all, I've made it $47 so that just about everybody could get access to it.
Yeah,
it's been $197, but I decided to go ahead and make this one, very accessible to just about everybody, because it's that important to know this stuff.
Right, and this is just isn't for single guys either. I mean, I know exactly what's in it, and if you are a guy that, you know, if you've got a girlfriend or wife or anything like that, I mean, it's still going to be worthwhile to pick up. Like I said, less than $50, it might give you some insights to help out your relationships and things like that, especially if you're kind of wondering if you're the one actually wearing the pants, or if you're not wearing the pants, or you're feeling like you're not living up to your end of the bargain, you might want to, you know, just pick it up and see what it's all about, because, you know, you'll get a lot of the good stuff, just like we talked about in here, except for it's going to be disseminated a lot better. You liked that word, didn't you? Disseminated.
Disseminated.
So, yeah, exactly. So,
one of the things also, guys, you can do, I almost forgot, is I have a program called Power Sessions. That's my inner circle. And I get you an extra level of advanced content, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, that advanced level you'll get nowhere else. And Power Sessions also comes with unlimited email coaching. You can ask me any question, any follow-up question you want, for a whole month, and it's yours free. And if you choose to continue that, it's up to you, $15.95 a month. But the first month is free, and it's something that, you know, the box is left unchecked for you. When you order Chick Whispering, it's up to you. And if that wasn't enough, I also give you a 30-minute one-on-one consultation for that $47 program, Chick Whispering, just because I want to make sure that if you have any sticking points that you believe are unique to your own personal experience with understanding women, or any specific examples of things women have done that you just are nonplussed by. You like that word, right?
Damn. You win.
Then you can go ahead and call me. That's included, and there's no tricks. There's no strings.
Sweet, man. Well, cool, dude. Well, like I say, man, we'll probably be doing this once a month. So if you guys got any questions for McKay or anything like that, you want to, send us, put some comments in the comment section. I'll have him come and kind of look over them and give you some answers. And if you have any things that you want us to talk about in the next coming months or anything like that, put them down. But Scott, man, I really appreciate it. We got a lot of good stuff out today.
Yeah, and here endeth this 97-minute screed on dating and dating and seduction, huh?
There you go.
So, screed. Man, what a great word that is, right?
Jesus Christ. I'm about to go look it up. You're killing me here. So
always a pleasure, Brad. I always enjoy it.
Never getting a verbal bash with McKay. He's going to make you feel like shit. So, all right, guys. We'll check you later.
All right. Take it easy, guys.